Good morning. For just a moment, imagine yourself as an Israelite who has just come out of Egyptian bondage under the leadership of Moses. You are standing before towering, thundering, quaking Mount Sinai, a vast granite altar rising abruptly to a height of 1,500 feet. A thick cloud is over the mountain, and out of the cloud comes thundering and lightning. The whole mount is smoking like a furnace and quaking so fiercely that you can barely keep your feet. Then out of the darkness comes the voice of God. I am the Lord thy God, which hath brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandment. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days thou shalt labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor anything that is in thy neighbor's house. These famous words, later written down by Moses, constitute the best known law in all the world, the Ten Commandments. And yet, even though they are the best known laws in all the world, they are the least understood. For instance, few people understand that they were given to the Jews only. When Moses gave the Ten Commandments for the second time, he emphasized that those laws were not made with our fathers or with anyone else, but with us, even us, who are all of us alive this day, Deuteronomy 5, verse 3. A covenant is an agreement between parties and affects no others. The Ten Commandments was a covenant made between God and the Jews and affects no others. Also, few understand that the Ten Commandments were only a temporary law, which was to be done away. The prophet Jeremiah said, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I'll make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was a husband unto them, saith the Lord." The Ten Commandments were the core of the covenant made with the Israelites when they came out of bondage. The Lord said he was going to make a new covenant with the people. Again, few understand that the Ten Commandments have been invalidated and no longer apply to us as a law. Contrasting the old and new covenants, Paul said, "But if the ministration of death, written and engraven on stones, was glorious, so that the people of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious?" And notice it now. "For if that which is done away was glorious, much more that which remaineth is glorious." 2 Corinthians 3:7 and 8 and verse 11. Paul says, "That which was written on stone, the Ten Commandments, has been done away, while the ministration of the Spirit, or the New Testament, remains." In Colossians 2 and verse 14, he said the old law was nailed to the cross. While in Hebrews 9, 16 and 17, the writer said the New Testament, or will of Christ, went into effect at his death. Thus the cross of Christ marks the end of the Ten Commandments as a law and the beginning of the new dispensation. And finally, few people understand that today we must keep certain basic commands, not because they are in the Ten Commandments, but because they are in the New Testament of Christ. 9 of the original Ten Commandments have been brought over into the New Testament. 1 has not. Those, however, that have been repeated in the New Testament are not listed together as they were in the Old Testament and are simply a small part of the all-over commands of Christ. Furthermore, each of the laws has been expanded to include a great deal more than they did in the Old Testament. In our lesson for the next couple of weeks, we want to take a little closer look at the world-famous Ten Commandments, to especially see how Jesus has applied nine of them to us. The Ten Commandments naturally divide themselves into two sections, the first four dealing with one's relationship to God, and the last six dealing with one's relationship with his fellow man. The Jews summarize the Ten Commandments in these two laws: 1, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and mind; and 2, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, Matthew 22:36-39. If time permits us, we will look at the first four this morning. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. This is the first commandment, not only in numerical sequence, but in order of importance. If one did not obey this command, he would not and could not obey the others. It was a very important lesson for a nation that kept a golden calf up its sleeve. The key to this command has been repeated in the New Testament. When tempted by Satan, Jesus says, "It is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." Matthew 4:10. We may never have bowed before a calf of gold, but we may still worship gold. We may never have bent the knee before the graven image of Baal, but there is also a graven image on a dollar bill. Can any of us say that sometime or another we've not put ambition, vanity, or self above the worship of God? There are many things that are good in this life, but they're not God. Today, this first commandment has value for us, not because it's part of the Ten Commandments, but because it is in principle repeated in the pages of the New Testament. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. The second commandment involved a threefold prohibition. 1, don't make an image. 2, don't bow down to an image. And 3, don't serve an image. The making of images or idols could only result in three mistakes. First, it could only give a misrepresentation of God, for he's never posed for a sculptor or photographer. Secondly, it would give man the idea that God is like man, an idea that has produced great evil in the world. And thirdly, it would prevent spiritual growth. Man wants to walk by sight, but God has decreed that we should walk by faith, 2 Corinthians 5:7, and thus be able to comprehend the Almighty without images or idols. The principle also has been repeated in the New Testament, and most religious people abide by it. John said, "Little children, keep yourselves from idols," 1 John 5:21. Some, however, still cling to these heathen ways. It is interesting to note that the Roman Church, to continue its image worship, has completely left out the second commandment from its list of the Ten Commandments, and had divided the tenth commandment into two to retain the original number. Next time you see a copy of the Ten Commandments, check and see whether the commandment about graven images is there. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Our names are important to us, and God's name is important to him. To take in vain meant to use lightly, in an irreverent manner. Two ways they could use it lightly would be through false oaths and swearing. It should be noted, however, that this command did not exclude civil oaths. Nehemiah 5:12 and Numbers 5:19. Today, our attitude toward the name of God must remain the same. Jesus taught the disciples to pray, "Hallowed or holy is thy name," Matthew 6:9. There are many ways we can use God's name lightly or in vain today. Some of these ways are swearing and profanity, to use for selfish purposes. Some put on quite a show of religion, using God's name freely for personal gain. The use of bywords, such as euphemisms of God's name, gosh and golly. These are certainly using God's name in a light, thoughtless manner. Paul said, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers," Ephesians 4:29. This commandment is tied in with our basic attitude toward God. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. If you'll read the fourth command, you will note that the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord, or the day corresponding to our Saturday. The word Sabbath means rest. Thus, they were instructed to do absolutely no work at all on that day. In their relationship to God, they were to completely set aside this day to worship him. Turning to the New Testament, we find no instructions at all for the keeping of the Sabbath. According to Colossians 2:14-17, no one can condemn another for not keeping the Sabbath, for it has been taken out of the way and nailed to the cross. You'll remember that we said earlier that 9 of the 10 commandments were repeated in the New Testament, while one was not. This is that one. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. In the New Testament, we're commanded to keep not the seventh day, but the first day of the week. This is the day on which the disciples met to partake of the Lord's Supper and worship God, Acts 20, verse 7, and 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2. It is referred to as the Lord's Day in Revelation 1, verse 10. If we follow the example of Christ, it will not be a day of rest as much as a day of worship and service. The only Sabbath for Christians is in the upper and better kingdom, where we may rest from our labors from henceforth, Revelation 14, 13, and Hebrews 4. In this world, there is no such thing as the Christian Sabbath. This must conclude our lesson for today. Please listen next week when we shall discuss Commandments 6 through 10. And until next week, may God bless and keep you.